All right. So when I first placed my faith in Jesus as a 19-year-old college student, I was immediately thrust into all sorts of ministry opportunities. Within 2 weeks of giving my life to Jesus, I was invited to go to Mexico on my very first missions trip. And it was there in Mexico on that mission trip that I first heard God's calling on my life to serve him with my life, although I had no clue what that would look like. And so shortly after returning from Mexico, I started out by volunteering with a youth ministry in a local church near the college campus. I went to work for the campus minister on campus there. I signed up for every missions opportunity that was available to me during the time. I was involved in campus ministry. I volunteered to help out with local church camps or youth camps, and I sang and led worship in various churches. That is until I graduated college and was hired for my very first vocational ministry job as a youth pastor in Woodstock, Georgia. Now, I can't recall a time as a follower of Jesus where I wasn't doing everything that I knew how to do to serve him and to share with others the life-changing love and unfailing grace that I had found in him. Now, I don't say all of that to pat myself on the back. I was deeply flawed in so many ways. I still am deeply flawed in so many ways. But when I placed my faith in Jesus, I can honestly say that I dove in headfirst and never looked back. And actually, I naively assumed that's what everyone who claimed to be a Christian did. And so I say all of that because after 28 years, I'm still amazed at people who say that they belong to Jesus, and yet their lives don't look any different than they did before. People who have called themselves Christians for years that are still standing in the same exact place that they started and haven't really ever moved forward in their relationship with Jesus. I mean, sure, they may have gone forward in a church service and said a prayer and got dunked in some water and got their golden ticket to heaven, but now they've simply just resigned themselves to things like just attending church and waiting to cash in on God's promise of eternity. But in all honesty, the trajectory of their lives hasn't changed. Now, the honest reality for people like that is that the little things about serving Christ, even just attending church, grows stale. It becomes drudgery, right? It becomes sort of this begrudging religious obligation. Like, I don't really feel like being a part of it, but I have to be a part of it, that kind of thing, right? Now, we don't say that out loud, but we feel that way, right? It becomes sort of this begrudging religious obligation. And so the sad reality is that I have seen so many people in 28 years who have never really stepped forward into the life-changing, purpose-transforming call of Jesus on their lives. And so today what I want to do is I want us to take a moment, and I want us to sort of look at the origin story of the apostle that we know as Simon Peter, found in Luke chapter 5. So Luke chapter 5, if you want to be turning there in your Bibles. And I want us to see how Simon Peter, the trajectory of his life changed upon meeting Jesus. So Luke chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 1, and we're only going to read the first 11 verses of Luke chapter 5, and it should be on the screen below me. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1, this is what it says. It says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, on Jesus, that's who they're talking about, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, Gennesaret's just another name for the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down in the boat and taught the people. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So just to kind of recap, Jesus is teaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he's surrounded by this very large group of people or crowd of people that were coming to hear him teach. Now, you have to understand, when these crowds would gather, they have heard of the miracles that Jesus was performing, that he was healing people, right? They were hearing that he was casting out demons. And so everybody was wanting to see the miracles. They were wanting to experience the miracles for themselves. And so they would press in on Jesus. Many people just wanting to touch Jesus, like the woman with the issue of blood, where she just wants to touch the hem of his garment. And so these large crowds would press in on Jesus, and they would press on him so much that he just backed up and got into one of the empty fishing boats on the shore, right? And the boat that Jesus just so happened to get into was the boat of Simon Peter, or a fisherman named Simon. And so when he gets into this boat, he asked the owner of the boat, Simon, to push it out a bit in the water. And when Simon did, he sat down and he continued to teach the crowd. Now, after Jesus is done teaching, he tells Simon to push the boat into deep waters and to let down his nets for a catch. Now, I'm not much of a fisherman. I actually used to hate fishing. And really because the little bit of fishing that I did when I was younger was extremely boring. The fishing that I did when I was younger usually consisted of sitting on the shore of a lake or a pond or maybe in a small boat and sitting. And you couldn't really talk or anything because the minute you open your mouth, somebody would shush you and tell you to be quiet because you're scaring the fish, to which I would reply, what fish, right? There are no fish, right? And if anyone actually caught a fish, it was usually tiny, and we would all look at it and go, wow, right? And then they would take the hook off the fish and throw it back in the water. I hated fishing, right? I hated fishing until I went deep sea fishing, right? Out on the deep ocean water, not just pulling in fish, but big, colorful, delicious fish. So it's not that I hated fishing, right? It's I hated sitting for hours and having nothing to show for it. I actually like catching fish. Now, Simon, being a fisherman, never would have gone into deep water in the heat of the day, right? Which is what this was. It defied fisherman wisdom. It actually defied common sense, right? The fish were never biting then and there. And Simon had just finished fishing all night and he had nothing to show for it. He was likely exhausted, worn out, and discouraged. Now, you may be wondering, how do you know he was discouraged? Well, because this was his livelihood, and he had nothing to show for it. He had no paycheck, right? So he's working and had working hard all night and had nothing to show for his hard work. Now, let's talk about the fact that Jesus chose to sit in Simon's boat. I want you to notice that, right? Jesus does everything with a purpose. Like, he didn't sit in that boat not knowing who it belonged to. So I want you to see this. The very thing, this boat, the very thing that represented frustration and discouragement for Simon was the very thing that Jesus put himself into. The very thing that was a source of disappointment, Jesus decided to use as a pulpit for his message to be declared, to display his mercy and his glory to the crowds, right? I want you to listen to me, church. Very often, Jesus will use the parts of your life that represent discouragement and disappointment and sometimes even pain and regret as a platform to display his power and his kingdom and his glory. And for some of you, that season that you're trying to pray your way out of, that season that you're trying to sidestep, listen to me, God desires to use them. Even those seasons where we're suffering the consequences of our sin and rebellion, our bad choices or our bad decisions, right? He has a way of using that as a platform to display his greatness and how amazing his love and mercy is to the people around us. And can I just say this? People, they don't just need to hear our testimony. They need to see the transformation of our lives. They need to hear us say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was deaf, but now I hear. I once was lame, but now I walk. But they don't just need to hear us say it. They need to see the evidence by how we live our lives. So listen to me. Sometimes your troubling circumstance is the perfect place for Jesus to show up and show what happens when he invades someone's life and they completely surrender their lives to him. Now, Simon could have made up any number of excuses, right? As Jesus tells him to push out into the deep water and let down his nets for a catch. He could have said all kinds of things, right? I've worked all night, Jesus, and I'm tired. I don't want to do this again. I just want to go home, and I want to just kind of be in my head and go to sleep, right? He could have said that, but he didn't. He could have said, hey, Jesus, I know more about fishing than you do because I'm a fisherman. You are a carpenter. So if I need my table fixed, I'll call you. But when it comes to fishing, I know what I'm doing. I do this for a living, right? Or he could have said, you know, the best fishing is at night, not in the heat of the day. Or he could have said, you know, the crowds that you've attracted here by the lake have scared away all of the fish. Or he could have said, Jesus, we've already washed our nets. We're already done. We've mended and washed our nets. We're done for the day. We don't want to do it, right? He could have made any number of excuses, but he doesn't make excuses. He simply tells Jesus, listen to this, Master, we worked hard all last night and have nothing to show for it. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again, right? I want you to pay attention to what Simon says here. This is actually a statement of faith, right? This is the first time in the book of Luke that we see someone refer to Jesus as Master, which is translated from the original Greek as epistates, which means leader or commander or boss, right? So he calls Jesus Lord in this moment. Master, we've worked hard all night. We have nothing to show for it. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again for a catch. Now, up to this point, you know, everyone's been amazed by the miracles that Jesus can do. They've been astonished by his teaching, right? They want a piece of what Jesus can give them. But Simon showed he was willing to submit to Jesus' commands, even when they defied human logic. Right? Simon didn't make excuses. He simply trusted Jesus, and his faith, as we see in the scripture, was rewarded. Listen, when we allow Jesus to direct our paths, it makes all the difference. We see results. We see fruitfulness. We talked about this just a few weeks ago. We talked about in John 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. Jesus is saying, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. So when we allow Jesus to direct our path, we see results. We see fruitfulness, right? And we always miss something great when we make excuses rather than trust where Jesus is leading us. So I want you to see what Jesus does next, right? Jesus has this special miracle reserved for Simon in the deep water. It's there that he displays his sovereign power over the natural world with this miraculous catch of fish. So not only does Jesus use that source of discouragement and disappointment as a platform, but he completely transforms it into a vessel of blessing, of great blessing for Simon. As Simon pulls up the net, and there are so many fish that the nets are breaking, and as they pull them into the boats are actually sinking. They flood the boat. Now, here's where we see Simon Peter completely surrender his life to Jesus as he kneels there in the boat and declares Jesus as Lord. I want you to look at it again. He says, it says he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He declares Jesus as Lord. But here's what I want you to see. Jesus doesn't just say to Simon, hey, that's great. Thanks for calling me Lord. Here's your golden ticket for heaven, right? Instead, he says this. He says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be a fisher of men. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be a fisher of men. So I want you to hear this, church. From the moment that Simon surrenders his life to Jesus, Jesus tells Simon that his life will never be the same, that the trajectory of his life will change forever, because that's what happens when we follow Jesus. Listen to me. You can't follow Jesus and stay where you are. You can't follow anyone and stay where you are, right? And so when we start to follow Jesus, really chase after him and pursue him, the trajectory of our life is going to change, right? And that's what happens for Simon Peter, right? Jesus tells Simon his life will never be the same, that he's been called to a purpose beyond anything that he could have asked or imagined. So I want you to listen to me, church. Some of you have been standing in the shallows for a long time. You know what I mean by that? You've been standing in the shallows. Like, you're still in that first area of salvation where you want the promise of eternal life, right? You said the prayer, you've been dunked in water, you've done the thing, but you've never really moved forward. So you're standing in the shallows, right? But you've never really pushed in to the deep. You say that you trust Jesus, but for whatever reason, you're not willing to put foot to pavement and really follow where he's leading you. You've never pushed out into that deep, risky, seemingly irrational faith that doesn't make sense to the outside world. And that's the place, listen, where if he's not with you, or if he doesn't show up on your behalf, you're doomed to fail. The place where you don't just know about Jesus. You understand what I'm saying when I say that? Where you just don't know about Jesus, but you experience the power of his presence in your life. Not just where you attend church and you applaud as you listen to others share stories about their faith, right? But that time where you stand up and you declare, let me tell you what my God has done for me. You know, moving into the deep waters, right? This isn't just a call for Simon Peter. Listen, he's calling us to follow him in this way as well, right? Calling us out to a place of greater purpose and meaning, a place where he desires to bless us and use us in ways that we can't even imagine standing in the shallows. It's in those deep waters that we're going to see abundance. It's in those deep waters that we're going to see a harvest. And I'm not talking about material abundance, things that fade away. I'm talking about deep, abiding things. Things like satisfaction and peace and joy and goodness. A place where he blows our minds with his greatness and his power and his presence in our lives and in our families, in our jobs, and in our neighborhoods. A place where he changes the trajectory of our life forever. I wonder, how many of you watching today would just be honest about where you are in your relationship with Jesus? And if you're standing on the shore, you're standing in the shallows, or you just simply don't believe, you said the words, but you don't believe, I want you to be honest about that today. How many of you would say, you know, Tommy, I've claimed to trust in Jesus, but if I'm being honest, I've never really moved from the shallow waters of my faith. How many of you could say that this morning? For whatever reason, you've never really moved out into deeper waters, never really allowed him to direct your path and change the trajectory of your life. If that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray because I believe you're missing out on the point. You're missing out on so much that he has to offer your life. If you would just commit your life to serving him and to following him, you'd be surprised where he leads you. And you would be surprised at the fruit that he gives you in your life. So if that's you, can I pray for you this morning? And also, if you're watching, trust in Jesus, that you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus for forgiveness of your sins, because we have to be honest, as we look around at the broken world around us, at all the mess around us, right, we have to admit that we need a Savior. And Jesus, he came to save us. The scripture tells us that God loved us so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. That on the cross, God poured out his full wrath for the punishment of our sin and our rebellion and our treason against him and our brokenness. And he poured it all out on him, and he took the payment for our sin, past, present, and future. And that through the cross, listen to me, we have the promise of new life, an abundant life, and eternal life. We have the promise of right standing before God, that we'll be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, that we have the right to be called his sons and his daughters. And so if that's you and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus this morning, I want to pray for you as well. So I just want to close by praying for us. So would you pray with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you're so good. My life is a living testimony of your goodness, God. How you can take someone who knew nothing about you, someone who was walking a broken road, a broken path, and how you can transform their lives through your saving grace and your love and your mercy, Lord. I'm living testimony, living proof, God. I'm so grateful for how you've led me. I'm so grateful to the things that you've called me to be a part of, Lord. The things that I've seen in my lifetime, I would never trade for anything in the world. God, the people's lives that I've gotten to be a part of, I would never change for anything in the world. God, I'm so grateful that you saved me and that you've called me out to not a temporary purpose, but an eternal and divine purpose, Lord. I can't imagine my life any other way. God, I pray for those watching right now. I pray for those who would be honest and just say, you know, that I'm stuck in the shallows. I've never moved forward in my relationship with Jesus. I pray right now, God, that you would call them out once again to follow you right now in this moment, that you would overwhelm them with the power of your presence, and you would call them once again to follow you. And from this moment forward, they would put their foot to pavement, and they would begin to follow you and chase after you wherever that leads. God, and you would lead them to a life of purpose and meaning, a life of abundance and fruitfulness, as your word promises, Lord. And I pray for those who are watching right now that have never placed their faith and trust in you. I pray that today, God, they would place their faith and trust in you as Lord and Savior. I pray, Father, that you would just reveal yourself to them in a way that's undeniable, and God, that they would place their faith in you. God, I'm so grateful for you. I'm grateful for your word. I'm grateful for your presence, Lord. As you know, I've had a rough week this week, and my family's had a rough time, and you have been with us every step of the way, surrounding us with your goodness and your love and your mercy, and I'm grateful for that. And I know that you're doing the same for others out there. And so we praise you, Lord. We give you glory and honor because you're worthy. And so, God, we just give you this time. We thank you for your word. Thank you that it doesn't return void, but it accomplishes that which it's sent out to do. God, have your way with us. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Hey, church, I want to thank you so much for tuning in with us this morning and joining us for God's word. I pray that it's been challenging to you. I pray that it has caused you to think about your relationship with Jesus and where he's leading you and if you're really following him. And I want you to know that I'm praying for you as well. Again, if you need me, reach out to me. I'd love to pray with you or pray for you in any way that I can. I can't wait to see you again. Again, our next all-church gathering is April 3rd at 10:30 a.m. I can't wait to see all of you there. I hope you have a great week. God bless.